And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Just as we are without one plea, but that your blood was shed for us, and that you bid us come to you, O Lord, we come to you this morning, O Lamb of God, so that we may be taught by you, fed by you, rebuked by you. And this is that time, Lord, we are here before you, O Lamb of God. Teach us your word. Feed us with it until we need no more. Glorify our Lord Jesus Christ through this sermon. Not any man, not anything else. Jesus should be glorified. Teach us, Lord. We are hungry. We are thirsty. We wait upon you to feed us and satisfy our hunger and quench our thirst with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we continue with our series. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24. And we are looking at signs of Christ's second coming. Today we are doing part 2. Last week we looked at part 1, where we looked at some signs. Among them was False Christ to come. Pestilences or contagious diseases. And many other signs. And we want to continue from where we stopped last Sunday. But for us to understand what the answer of Jesus means, we first need to carefully examine the three questions from his disciples. And we need to know what was going behind their mind when they asked those questions. Remember, their question is, when will these things be? Jesus had just told them about the destruction of the temple. And many people think that their question was pointing to the destruction of the temple. But if you carefully follow the answer from our great master, you'll discover that their question was not only about the destruction of Jerusalem, of the temple. And they say, tell us, when will these things be? There are things, there are many. And we learn from the answer of our Lord Jesus Christ that they wanted to know more than just the mere destruction of the temple. Remember that these guys were Jews like any other, who were waiting for their physical Messiah to come. in order to fulfill some Old Testament prophecies. And among those prophecies, one was that the nation had would be going through some tribulation. As we read in the book of Zechariah 14. And the nation of Israel by that time had already experienced such tribulation under Antiochus the Fourth. Antiochus the Fourth. Yes. This king had slaughtered thousands of Jewish people. And he had profaned the temple. They had also understood that some person like Elijah would come before the Messiah to prepare his way. And Jesus had already told them that. That had already occurred in John the Baptist. The next event they were expecting was the coming itself of that Messiah in power to set up his kingdom. And don't forget that a few days earlier, Jesus had made a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They saw it. And they were now looking for some more signs about the Messiah. They believed that Jesus would soon establish his kingdom. And they wanted to know when that would be. And what signs would show that it was about to happen. They have a word when there in their question.
And
concerning when, concerning exactly when they would happen, Jesus did not answer that question until in verse
36.
Where he said that only the Heavenly Father knows. And I want you to keep that these words well because they will help us. You want to know the when of things. Why do you want to search into the things that God alone knows? We need to be very careful concerning their second question. What will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of your coming? And many believers and many preachers say they wanted to know when Jesus Christ would be coming the second time. But no, that was not true. That's not true. Because when you think that they wanted to know when Jesus would come back the second time, then you are falling into a trap of using the New Testament theology to answer a question that was asked from an Old Testament perspective. Thank you. And how? Here, the disciples were not asking when Jesus would return the second time.
No.
It's you and me who would like to know when he would return.
Why?
Simply because the disciples did not know he was going to leave at all.
No.
Remember, they wanted a physical king, a human king. They did not even think of him dying. This guy was powerful. Performed miracles. Resurrected the dead. How could such a person die? That was far from their mind. The question is, what will be the sign of your coming? Not your coming back the second time, but what it will be the sign of your manifesting yourself and your taking your place as Messiah. Because you are here, we believe that yes, you are our Messiah. But you are still weak. And yet the Bible, the prophecies tell us that our Messiah will be a very strong person. Who is going to fight against all our neighbors to bring peace into Jerusalem. You are here, yes, but still weak. And you are still doing nothing about all those prophecies. And when are you coming in that form, in that capacity? That was at the back of their mind. And their third question goes hand in hand with the second. What is the sign of the consummation of the age? Remember that even after the resurrection of their master, even after that, these disciples had not fully understood the spiritual nature of Christ's kingdom. They still had into their mind his physical kingdom. When you read Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, you find here Jesus Christ was about to even prepare himself to go back to heaven. But the question they asked him really is discouraging us. Up to this time, you haven't known that this guy's kingdom is spiritual. And they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Even after the resurrection of their master, their minds were still on carnal things. They still wanted to be big, to be important, to be famous. And how many churches and Christians today, just like the disciples, misunderstand the nature of Christ's kingdom? How many? It is very sad to hear preachers and church leaders today relate material possessions, fame and success, they led them with the kingdom of Christ. You hear them say, for you to be truly a child of God, member of the kingdom of Christ, you need to be rich, you need to be driving, build houses, to sit with presidents and ministers. You don't need to pray from a tent like this one. Always relating the kingdom of Christ with material things, physical things. Till when you will remain in ignorance. They also don't understand that the kingdom of our great Messiah is spiritual and not physical. Even if we leave this tent and we go under a tree, that great kingdom is spiritual. It has nothing to do with our guitar and drums and everything else. We need to learn, friends. Now, the interest of the disciples was more on when the kingdom would come than on when the temple would be destroyed. And the interest was not much on the destruction of the temple, but more on when is that kingdom be restored
here.
When will it be restored? So, according to the answer of Jesus, we can conclude that the words "these things," these things in the question of the disciples, was referring to the destruction of the temple, was not referring to the destruction of the temple alone. With all this in mind, we can now continue to look at the answer from the great master. Just to remind you again that Jesus did not answer their first question until in verse
36.
And he started answering the second and third questions together, because they mean almost the same thing. The day Jesus starts ruling as Messiah, that's when the present age will come to end, to an end. Okay. And Jesus' answer was prophetic, meaning that whatever is said would be experienced not by his audience alone, but also by those yet to be born. You and me inclusive. In verses 9 and 14, where we are today, we find more signs that will mark the end of the age, on top of what we looked at last Lord's Day. And the more signs we are going to look at today, we have universal Christian persecution, apostasy. Yeah, this is simply to renounce your religion, you leave it. That's apostasy. And then worldly missions revival, preaching of the gospel. These three events have also been part of Christianity since the first century, as we are going to see. Last week we looked at five signs, which are religious deception, false Christ will come, wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. I don't have to go back to those again. We covered them last week. Today we are looking at the three more signs. And let's go to verse
9
now. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Okay, I thought you would read. Okay, let's continue because of time. Jesus says, now this is the sixth sign. Jesus says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will notice that all the previous five signs affect all mankind together. When an earthquake comes, when wars come, diseases, Ebola and everything, they don't segregate or separate between a born again and a Muslim and a Catholic and a heathen.
No.
They kill us all together. But now, this sixth sign is for Christians and Christians alone. This is the very first one that concerns the Christians alone. And he says, they will deliver you. Who is or who are these they? They here means all the people of the world who are not born again, who are not Christian born again. Among them, your friends, your parents, your brothers, sisters, your country and church leaders, all together, they are part of the they who are ready to persecute you one day. Your dad, your mom. And they will take you into the hand of tribulation. Other versions say persecution. This is an adversity. It's a trying moment, trying event. Yes. They will hand you over into the hands of affliction to be persecuted by all modes of inventive torture. All as you can think. And our brothers and sisters in the past have gone through that. Mark sheds more light on this when he says, they will deliver you up to councils and you will be beaten in synagogues. What surprises me is the fact that only a few years in the future, these things started happening. His direct disciples. This was fulfilled already in the first century. When Peter and John were brought before the council in Acts chapter 4, verse 5 up to 7.
5
up to 7. It did not end with the apostles, it just started with them. And continued up to when I'm speaking
now.
Many years after the apostles, Martin Luther, the reformer, he reformed the reformer. Okay. Yeah, that's the best interpretation. Martin Luther, you know, he was a monk in the Catholic Church.
Martin Luther yali monk omu kanisa ya Katoliki.
Godfather, like fathers of this time. And then by the grace of God fell on him and he understood things from scripture.
Kubeza kya Katonda yategeera ebyawandiikibwa okuva mu
And he wrote 95 theses. He hung them on the door of the cathedral.
95,
yeah. Among them, Pope is not the representative of Christ here, and many others.
He
was caught. Remember, Mark said that they'll take you to different councils. After John and Peter, many years later it was Martin Luther. Because of his true faith in the Lord. They took him before the Council of Trent in
Germany,
where he was requested to renounce his new faith. But instead of renouncing or abandoning it, he stood before the council and he replied to them saying, I quote him, my conscience is captive to the word of God. Do you know someone who's captive? You have no other choice. He says, my mind is captive to the word of God. And he continues, thus I cannot and will not recant. I'll not renounce. Because going against my conscience is neither safe nor salutary. To go against my conscience is not safe. And it cannot save me. It's
not safe.
So I'm just trying to show you how the prophecies of our Lord Jesus Christ came being fulfilled. Look also adds more information on that. And he says, because these guys, Luke and Mark, they are adding more light on what Matthew did not say. Luke also says the same story like this. They will be delivered to synagogues and prisons, brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. Again, the fulfillment of this prophecy began with the apostles of Christ. Again, we see Peter and John in prison in Acts chapter 4, verse
3.
We see Paul and Silas who were severely beaten. And then in prison, Acts chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. Paul was also brought before Gallio, another council. Acts 18:12. He was the same. Paul was also brought before Felix, another council. Yes. In Acts 24:24. He was brought again before Agrippa. In Acts 25:23. And this brother suffered more than others. I want to push our attention to these words here, where Luke says, they would they will be delivered to synagogues and prisons, brought before the kings and governors for my name's sake. What does that mean? At the end of verse 9, we find these words. Even Matthew has them. At the end of verse 9. They will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Whenever you go through a situation, always ask yourself, why am I going through this? Always do that. Why am I going through this? Why am I suffering like this? Maybe your back is hurting you simply because you don't do a physical exercise. Why is my back hurting me? I've taken my back many times to Rubaga Hospital. After the test, the doctor tells me, no problem, just go and exercise. And when you exercise, yes, it heals. So always ask yourself, why? Why this? Here we are given the reason why Christians have been, are, and will always be persecuted. And the reason is none other than for his name's sake. What a blessing, brethren. What a blessing to suffer and even die for he who first suffered and died for you. It's a great blessing, a great honor. They will be afflicted, the Bible says, by chains, imprisonment, mocking, and scourging. Yes. And when, if you read 2 Corinthians 11, 23, let's go there. 2 Corinthians 11, see how Brother Paul suffered for the sake of his Lord. We are still joking, friends, we are still joking. Those who went before us, they suffered for the sake of his name. Listen to what Paul says in verse 11 of chapter 2 Corinthians. Verse 23 up to 25. Let me begin from verse 22. He asks the question, are they Hebrews? I am also. Are they Israelites? So I am. Are they seed of Abraham? So I am. Now listen to this. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more than they. Who are these they? The 12. The 12 apostles, Peter and others. Because people started undermining him, saying that he's not worth of those 12. And now he tells you, if you think they are ministers of Christ, I'm more than they. For the following reason, in labors more abundant. Yes, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. That's Brother Paul. Do you see how much he suffered? And the Lord had already predicted that. They would also kill them. Not only being persecuted,
but
also killing you. And this prophecy also started being fulfilled a few years later with his immediate disciples. The first who were to stamp the love for his Christ with his blood is our brother Stephen.
Stephen,
who was mercilessly murdered by stoning in Acts 7 verse
59.
James, the brother of John, followed. And he was killed with a sword by Herod in Acts 12 verse 2. All these died for his name's sake. And my question to you this morning goes like this. Why are you going through whatever you are going through, my friend, my brother, my sister? You are going through a lot in your life. And my question is, why? Is it because of his name's sake or because of your own name's sake? Many of the things we do them for our own name's sake. Do you go to school for his name's sake? No, don't deceive us. You want to get that degree and PhD and whatever for your own name's sake. When you go for Cheyo, do you go for his name's sake? I'm not saying they are bad. I'm just informing you that you don't do, don't deceive us that you do it for the his name's
sake.
And what I mean here is that if you were chased at your place of work because you stole or because you committed an adultery or whatever you might have done, and now you are suffering no money, this suffering is for your own name's sake, meaning for your own sin and not for his name's
sake.
You disobey your parents, your husband at home. You disobey your bosses at work because you believe you are a born again Christian who needs to obey God rather than men. You start quoting scriptures wrongly. Your parents, your husband, your boss tells you something, you say, no, I'd rather obey God than men. When those people discipline you, you start telling your friends, you know, I'm suffering these days for the sake of Christ. One time he stopped me from going to church. I went there because I have to obey God rather than man, and now he's punishing me. I'm suffering for Christ. You let me just inform you that you are not suffering for his name's sake, it's for your own name's sake. For your lack of wisdom, not knowing how to interpret scripture. Let's continue. Mark and Luke again add some more information that Matthew missed. They say that all this persecution will turn out for for you as an occasion for testimony.
Era kujja kuvaayo nga obujulizi.
Luke verse chapter 21:13 says it very well.
Luka 13.
21:13. So this is the second reason why persecution will come. The first reason is for his name's sake. And the second reason is that you may use that time to testify. That's a good occasion for testimony. What does this mean? Another thing that is making the church of these days to stink. The church is stinking. And another thing that is making the church stink is this word testimony. Testimony has become testimony. Someone visits your church on Sunday. After worship service, they come and ask you, but Caesar, I did not see time for testimony in you. Why? If only you tell them that we don't have such testimonies in our worship service. That's all. You won't see them again. And you hear them say, I can't go back to that church because I cannot be part of a church that rejects testimonies. Yet the Bible says in Revelation 12:11, and they quote, they are good at quoting, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Friend, how do you read your
Bible?
It hurts me to see you misinterpret scripture like this. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What does that mean? Is it these fake testimonies that you fill your church services with? And I beg you, my friends, please don't be misquoting scripture, lest you be like the devil. He's the one who did it with Christ. The word testimony is found throughout scripture, the Bible. But in the New Testament, it means the gospel. And what is the gospel? This is simply the story about Jesus, his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection and ascension. Everything about Jesus. When you narrate that story to someone, that is what is called testimony. And it is called in the Bible, in throughout the New Testament, it is called one, the testimony of Christ. Or the testimony about Christ. About God. And in Acts 22, I want just to give you this scripture so that you can read them from home. And Acts 22:18. 1 Corinthians 1:6.1 Corinthians 2:1. 1 John 5:9.
Kitabu cha Yohana kisoka.
Revelation 1:2.
Okubikuliwa.
Revelation 1:9.
Okubikuliwa.
Revelation 12:17.
Okubikuliwa 12:17.
Revelation 17:6.
Okubikuliwa 17.
Revelation 19:10.
Okubikuliwa 19.
Revelation 24:4.
Okubikuliwa.
ETC, ETC. You see a bunch of scriptures.
Olaba
and when you go through all these, the testimony is called of Christ. About Christ. About God. Church. Where did you get these testimonies about yourselves from?
Mwabijawa.
Praise God, brethren. I want to testify before you. God gave me a super custom. You may ask me, Pastor, what's wrong with that? And I can also ask you, what's good with that? Because, okay, our brother Alex is seated back there.
Alex
a few days ago, they had an accident. Very terrible one. If you could see the car and look at him, you could see a miracle. But he did not come here to testify. You can ask me, but why, Pastor? My question is, as they survived that accident, they are not okay. All those who are in that car are not okay with the Lord. And the trumpet sounds now. Where do they go? So what's the importance of surviving in that car accident without Christ? It does not profit me in any way. God give me that super custom ngasimu mani without knowing him. So that's why we don't entertain such testimonies when you want to come here and spend 30 minutes, one person. Telling us how he went to America. So that we do what? We want to hear about Jesus. You don't have Jesus, stay where you are seated. If you built a house, it helps you. The rest of us, what helps us is to hear about Jesus. He gave his life for me. What is America? What is Australia? What is Europe? What is Nyonyi? It's not even a miracle to whites, it's a miracle to Ugandans.
But
it's a miracle. The plane is just another means of transport. And someone leaves our church and not to come back simply because we don't have such time of nonsense. For your information, every single Sunday, we have testimony in this church. And this is the time I'm testifying about my Lord. To tell you about him. How he was crushed for you. That's the testimony. Those who overcame the devil, the dragon. Oh, Sebo. Those who overcame the dragon, they did it because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Talking about the Lamb. Those are the only two things the devil fears. He does not mind you being healthy. You don't have any sickness. He does not care how big your church is. He does not care how many times you've gone abroad. The word of your testimony, he saved me. He had mercy upon me. The chief of all sinners. Let's go to verse
10.
If my time is up, I'll stop. I'm not racing with anyone. I cannot just rush my message because of time. Verse 10 reads, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. During that time of persecution, many will be offended. What does that mean? Many shall stumble. Many are going to fall. To fall from the profession of faith. Many who professed to love Christ at that time will show that they have nothing to do with Him. Because it will be a terrible time. Terrible. Just hear about it. And how can that be? You may ask, how can that be? Does that mean that one can lose his salvation? Because if you read those other evangelists, Mark and Luke, they say very well that brothers will hand themselves or each other over into the hands of persecutors. Then you ask yourself, how come brothers, members of RBC, Bill, I just hand over my brother Isaac to be persecuted? That means one can lose his salvation. No. The teaching of Scripture is very clear on that point. And it says, whoever was truly, check the word truly, whoever was truly saved by Christ cannot lose his salvation. Let's read that in John chapter 10. And these words did not come from John. They came from the word of the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. John 10, 28 and 29. Let me get it from 27. Listen to what the omniscient God said. The all-powerful God said. 27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. 28. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. This is the great master, the king himself, God. They'll never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And verse 29 gives the reason why no one can manage to get them from his hands. Because my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Idiot. This came from the mouth of God himself. If you decide to go with the words of theologians, human theologians, the choice is yours. I have decided to go with the words of my God. And even if you leave Jesus aside, his words, it just makes sense that if God is more powerful than any, and he gets someone and places him in the hands of his because
his son.
No one can manage to come and get that person from the hands of Christ. It makes sense. Now, Pastor, what does this mean here? That some brothers are going to leave the faith. And they'll start handing each other to those
persecutors.
Very simple. The apostates are people who leave their faith. We are not truly born again at the first place. Remember, even as we are here at RBC, we call each other brother, sister. We are not omniscient. Even your pastor, I don't know who's truly saved and who is not. Until when I start seeing those fruits of spirit. Otherwise, the only one who knows truly who is saved and who is not is Christ. But the fruits are a good sign to make at least people think that this might be born again, truly born again. It makes sense to me. I like it. And again, you come back and say about yet another brother or sister in your church. Now, yo, no, this one we pray with, but And yet, the same appellation remains, brother, sister, brother, sister, brother, sister. So, if your brother, your sister calls you brother or sister, that does not automatically make you a brother in the Lord's family.
No.
You want to prove that really some people might be many years in the church and they are not born again at all. One of the 12 apostles of Christ. John. Let's read 1 John chapter 2. Yeah, the letter. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 19. This one walked with the Lord. Listen to what he
said.
1 John 2. 19. He says this. They went out from us, but because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So they went out from us so that could put them up for everyone to know that this all along they've not been with them. This one walked with the Lord. Don't be deceived. No one can lose his salvation if they were truly saved by
Christ.
We believe in the sovereignty of Christ. He controls and rules everything. And if he saves, who is that to come and snatch again? So when persecution comes, true born agains will never quit. They will never. By the way, just as a thermometer is the best instrument to test who has fever and who does not have, then persecutions are the what the best thermometer to prove or to test who is truly born again and who's not. Persecution alone. Not wealth. Not health. Not fame. Not religion, theological training. Not success. Not preaching well, but persecution and persecution alone. Well, the church is now, the church in Uganda and in the world is swimming into wealth and peace. You'll never know who's truly born again. You'll never. Oh Lord, bring it. You'll never know. By the way, for information, do you know that the church throughout history has had the best of its revivals during suffering, wars, and persecution of the church? Read your church history. The church has never had, I mean, spiritual growth in peace and success. Never. Never. The time you and me are living in, the church is enjoying some peace. And you hear born against all over Uganda praying in these words. Oh God, we thank you for our President Yoweri Museveni. For the freedom of worship. Even me, I pray like that. Nothing wrong. But when we enjoy such peace, friends, the government is okay with us. No, continue. The church in someone's continue. It will be difficult to know who's truly born again and who's not. Let persecution come. You'll see. It's not easy. And the question you need to ask yourself, at RBC, we are many brothers and sisters, and that's how we call ourselves. Are you among those true ones or among those fake ones? They are there in each and every local church. True brothers and true sisters and fake ones. Your pastor might not know. I'm waiting for the persecution to come. And see how you leave us alone. Throughout history, our brothers and sisters gave their lives for the Lord. For the sake of this. I can't forget the story I learned in my church history 3 about a family of Christians long around 1400-1500 who truly and dearly sincerely loved their Lord. It was during persecution of the church. They found them hiding. The wife had just produced a baby. I think a week old. They grabbed the husband. Killed him at stake. And they said, we give you some time because you have this baby. Think twice. You have to renounce this Christ. You want to live your life so that you look after this baby. Still too young. They gave her just a few days. We are coming back to check so that you tell us whether you hate him or not. When they came, They found her with her baby. So come and tell us. Are you renouncing so that we leave you, or you continue and we kill you? She said, I can't recant. Go ahead and do whatever you want. She was captured. Before they burnt her a stake alive, she pleaded for favor to speak to her son. They gave her, granted her that chance. She held her baby in her arms. And you can't believe these words. My dear son, forgive us. You know how much we love you. We love you so dearly. Otherwise, I would not have kept you into my stomach for 9 months. I love you so much. You are my everything. But they've put us at choice between your love and the love to that one. And your father already left us. And I'm sorry just to tell you that I want to leave you here. Because although I love you so dearly, I can't love you more than he who loved us. By my son, I'm going to be with the Lord. After that, they burnt her and she died. These are not dreams. They happen in this life, in this world. And when you hear such, you ask yourself, can I do that? And the disciples told Jesus, increase our faith, O Lord. It's what we need to pray for daily. Than disturbing him to make you successful. Making you rich, making you healthy. What are you going to benefit with your body being healthy? I'd rather be with typhoid every week. And it is well with my soul. Are you among the true children of Christ in your local church? Or you are among the fake ones? What you do outside there proves it. When we come here, all of us are saints. Holy. Let's get out of this place. You won't stand with us when those days come. And they are approaching. They are approaching. Just follow the trend in our countries. The interreligious council of Uganda. I speak loudly and I don't fear anything. Where you want to bring all the religions together? Where did you see that? Which Bible allows that? You bring a sheikh and a pastor and a bishop of Catholic and Anglican to say we are brothers, our God is one. So we should not
thought
you. And those are what you, even the constitution of Uganda, calls church. Did you know that? Go and check in many of these things, even the ballot papers. You don't see born again there as a faith here. They recognize Orthodox, Catholics, Anglican, that's Church of Uganda, Islam. Those are the, those old ones.
Bamanyi basilamu, bamanyi banglikani,
bamanyi now, if these are coming together and yet the government of our country recognizes them that they are the true religion, and they hear Bill of RBC speaking these words against them, if only they tell the government that no, that one we don't recognize it, it's not a, it, they are not Christians. Do you know how the arm of the government will just be stretched on you? Allow me to end here now. We'll continue next week. But we've learned a lot of things. May the Lord help us to be part of his true children. Don't follow entertainment, my friend. It will not help you in any way. No one here could love entertainment like me. No one. Just as we are without one plea, but that your blood was shed for us, and that you bid us come to you, O Lamb of God, we come. Yes, we come. We come to you, Lord, with our hearts full of thanksgiving and gratitude for such words that you allow our ears to listen. Many people, Lord, are fed with the stories of successes of their pastors daily, and they don't talk about Christ. What did we do to be part of such poor churches, but where Christ is talked about? So therefore, we are grateful, Lord. We thank you, and we'll forever be grateful to you. May you help us that we live these words that you've told us this morning, using this weak instrument as I am. Time is coming, Lord, the time of peace. We've enjoyed it enough. Peace is about to go. And that time of persecution to set apart the sheep from the goats is coming. Increase our faith, O Lord, so that we can be ready to stand with you, even when that time comes, so that like those brothers and sisters who went before us, we can also stamp our letter of love with our blood, the ink of our own blood, because you did it first for us. You gave your own precious blood, and you stamped the paper, the document of your love to us with your ink, the ink of your precious blood. What's wrong if we did it for you, Lord? But that needs faith, sincere faith. Increase our faith, O Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.